My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's time for Sam and Greg on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
1, 2, 3, 4. Get up, get on up. Get up, get on up. Stay on the scene. Get on up like a sex machine. Get on up. Get up, get on up. Get up, get on up. Stay on the scene. Get on up like a sex machine. Get on up.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg back together on a Sunday morning in the palatial studio, Kia Studios, on this Sunday morning, first day of September. Good morning, Georgia!
Morning.
And a good morning and happy Labor Day weekend to all y'all during Gwinnett County and Berkeley Lake.
All right now.
Berkeley Lake.
Yep.
Been up there?
Yep. That's the part where Peachtree Road becomes Peachtree Boulevard, becomes Peachtree Industrial by the time you get to Berkeley Lake.
You know, by the way,
Peachtree Street originally.
When I first moved here, the first time I asked, I think, I was told 63 different versions of Peachtree Street.
That's increased? Peachtree Street. We got Peachtree.
Just Peachtree.
Just Peachtree.
Yeah,
right.
Peachtree, different versions of
Peachtree Street
in the Atlanta area.
Yeah.
That was 63. That was years ago.
Mm-hmm.
How many more do you think has been added?
Oh, I don't know. There's probably been a bunch added when you get out from the city into different areas, because a lot of people, that's a popular, you know, but it's popular, but it also confuses some folks.
That's what I'm saying.
They come from out of town. But if you, you'd be surprised the number of people who live here or have lived here, maybe not a long time, but if they travel just on the freeway, wherever they go, everywhere, don't take surface streets. They don't know that Peachtree Street is Peachtree Road, is Peachtree Boulevard, is Peachtree Industrial. Same street.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't know that.
Peachtree Commons, I get caught. Some of these communities.
You got Peachtree Battle.
Peachtree
Corners.
I used to run around over there, Peachtree Battle.
So, that's the thing. So, yeah. But that's what we're talking about is just same street.
Okay.
Yeah,
well,
man. Yeah.
How has your – last time I saw you, we were selling cars.
I know we were selling cars. Everything came out of our mouth was Jim Ellis. Yeah, well, no, I was selling cars, but the people who were selling cars were doing something charitable.
You get what I'm saying. I'm just being, literal. But
yeah.
We're out there mentioning the car dealership and having fun on a flat road, working with Big Mike and Mocha.
How about
Shout out to Mocha for sending us those pictures.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And Noelle was back here. We missed you something silly last week. We'll talk to her in a little bit here. But
you would have enjoyed it out there. I think she would enjoy it.
And by the way, did you get yourself a little something on the way out? I ain't gonna mention what, but
Yeah,
when we were leaving, you were saying, "Hang on, let me go over here, Chateau Long, this part of it."
Since we're here,
I've never been over there before.
Yeah, it's good.
All right. Reasonable.
Good stop.
See, I would think that that would be, you know, you'd have to bring the black card for that one.
No.
Also, we're sitting here and say, man, it's September.
It is here.
We
know it's here because we saw college football.
Yes, we did. And we're going to
pace a lot of it.
Going to pace ourselves.
Going back to Thursday night.
We got everything from football to tennis.
Yeah.
To talk about. Yeah. Baseball in between. Baseball. There we got some NASCAR going on.
Yeah.
We're going to have Brandon Hutchison join us tomorrow because we will be with you on the actual Labor Day. So we're getting you ready for another race weekend here. So a lot of stuff. But when we hit October, there is no greater place to be but in America if you're any kind of sports fan.
Yeah.
Because we got everything for you. Everything's going on. But as we land here on this Labor Day weekend, lots of things to get into. We're going to talk Braves
and
here in a little bit.
It's a busy time here in Atlanta.
Pardon?
This is always a big weekend here in Atlanta. We got Dragon Con in town. We had people
sure.
I mean, yesterday, I don't know if you didn't have any business downtown, you wanted to avoid it. But you wanted to come downtown because great stuff were happening. You had Georgia and Clemson playing at 12 noon. Had the Dragon Con parade at, I think it was 10 o'clock yesterday morning. We had Georgia State and Georgia Tech that played. Nice crowd over at Bobby Dodd Stadium last night for Georgia State and Georgia Tech to play historic first game. And a number of other things. I think we got Black Pride in town.
Mm-hmm.
They got a big arts festival on the square out in Marietta. I mean, there are so many things that I have to do this weekend. This is a big weekend.
I'm so glad we didn't have to come in here, though. I'm sorry. I'm glad we didn't have to. You had to come in here Friday night. And by the way, how was this first time in the studio the for
first,
the
first time? Chris Park and I here in the studio for the Scoreboard Show had a nice time. You know, the threat of rain, once again, we had some games that were delayed a little bit. And but we were able to get the games in Friday night, and it was great. Great. Fantastic.
So, yeah, there was
We had the new executive director of the Georgia High School. Dr. Tim Scott. You know, Dr. Robin Hines, we call him, right?
Okay.
So now when we said, okay, Dr. Tim Scott is our executive director, does everybody have your phone number? You know, any of these people get mad about folks transferring schools or upset about officials or whatnot, you know, the first thing they do, they want to, who's the head person for GHS? I want to call him. And he called me. Yeah, I don't mind.
Dr. Hines is sitting back, got himself a big old, whatever, glass of lemonade, sitting on the back porch, watching games, thinking to myself, oh, normally after a game like this or something would happen, I'd get a call. He'd take a big sip.
They ain't calling me no more.
Take a big sip. So yeah.
But that's,
he's got big shoes to fill. The new executive director.
In
we've
these
talked about
days
this.
And times of high school athletics,
oh,
the changes
man.
That is going along, the way it's evolving so fast, and you're just trying to keep up.
Mm-hmm.
You're just trying to keep up with things as new things are introduced, and find out things that are good, maybe things that are not so good, the things that you can avoid. And the things that you can't avoid.
Well, moreover, you got to get a different kind of staff in 2024 than you would have even 10 years ago. You got to have people who are not just versed in that particular the sports under your umbrella, but you know, got to be a little political, got to have a little IT sense to you.
Yep.
You got to know all that stuff in 2024. Listen, the casting call.
Because the thing of it is, you're not going to be popular with everybody.
Nope.
You know, somebody's going to always be unhappy with the decision that you make. And so, yeah, you're right. It comes down to that type thing. And certain type people, you know, have to call on to be in that job. He's got it, and he seems to be happy with it. He was at the Warner Robins game Friday night. So, you know,
that's down by Buckies.
It is.
Yeah, I know. I remember that.
Right. Warner Robins.
Yeah, I know that's down there.
You know, so, you know, he's worked in different capacities. Been a principal, been a superintendent school, so he's been a coach, so he's touched a lot of different things that's necessary to do that job well. So
we wish him nothing but success.
Absolutely.
Karen Pastena coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. We're going to talk to Miles Garrett. We're going to talk college football with him. Got two guests coming up in the 9 o'clock hour: JR Sports World, and also Dustin Long from NBC. Going to talk some NASCAR with us. But before we I just saw a picture of a mugshot up there.
Threw me off. Yeah,
boy. Noel, could you please, with our story of the week?
It's time for Sam and Greg's story of the week.
Could be sports.
Grapefruit League activity.
Could be news.
Could be entertainment.
This is our first time on the VMAs.
It could be, well, anything.
You know what I'm saying?
Sam and Greg's story of the week on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Here's Sam and Greg.
I sent you a text probably end of last, beginning of this past week. You don't remember. But in whatever it was I was conveying to you, I think I ended with a Bernie Mac quote and saying, y'all got to pray for me. Because I became a parent this week.
Yeah.
I became a parent in a way that I have newfound respect for those of you out there who have multiple kids. Now, I shouldn't say that, because it's still a little different, but the worry when you leave. Like, I'm worrying right now what's going on at my house. Because I have two dogs there. I don't normally have two dogs. In fact, this is the second time only. And the last time I had them, it was for only maybe 36 hours. I've had two dogs all week, Sam.
Whoa.
I've been a parent.
Whoa.
All week
wow.
long. And when I tell you that I'm glad, because there had been some discussion at some point about getting another dog, ain't no way in the world. I can't wait for Piper's mama to come back home, because I've been a bachelor all week. They're up in Michigan. They get back later today. And take this dog, please. She did cause problems the first night.
Really?
Well, when they left last week, as dog owners will do, you hug your dog, you hold it, you know, you want, oh, I'm going to miss you so much, right? You want to give them 18 different kinds of treats, right? So they did that. McKenna and Tracy gave these dogs a bunch of treats before they hit the road. About 1:30 in the morning, Sam, that first night, I heard that sound. That sound you hear when a dog is, you know,
yeah,
not doing well.
Yeah.
And that started my week with those two. So I'm just saying, other than that, Piper's been well. But Piper's one of those what do they call those dogs that don't shed an arrow? Oprah's got one of those things. You know, they're supposed to be, I can't think of the word. I want to say aerodynamic, but that's not the word. What am I thinking of, Noelle?
Hypoallergenic.
Thank you, hypoallergenic. They don't, they're just like, anyway, that's not Piper. She's supposed to be that, but I think McKenna got her out of the backside of a white van. Because she's a little different. I think she's like a bootleg. It's like, not Nikes, Mikey's.
Yeah.
It's one of those dogs. But I love her. And she and her cousin have had a rambunctious week. But Sam, I'm telling you, that's my story of the week. Me parenting two dogs. And I made it. I got a bunch of stories. I'm not going to share them with you. But that's my story of the week. There's been a lot of stuff happening. But there's been nothing more important. Everything I do, I have to time.
Yeah.
Because I got to get back to the house. I'm saying it's like a parent who's got two kids there and with no child care.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, there you go.
But the story for me was Monday night. It was the second visit of Caitlin Clark to Atlanta. And I had a chance to go to State Farm Arena. Big, big crowd.
All y'all were out there. We saw the pictures.
And but I think the cool story that night was seeing two members of the 96 Olympic team back. After all, they're the founders of the WNBA. The league was launched after they won gold.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to be reminded that U.S. didn't win gold at the Olympics prior to that in 92 in Barcelona.
Nope.
And so their Olympic team started this string of gold medals that we've seen from the U.S. women. And just to have Venus Lacey there, and I think now lives up around Chattanooga, and Ruthie Bolton there, Val Ackerman, the original, president of the WNBA, there to talk about seeing this crowd and seeing this phenomenon that's happening with the season and hearing their reaction to it. And I asked Ruthie Bolton, I said, so you got a chance to watch Caitlin. You checked her out. I said, who does she remind you of that was on your team? She says, well, her range, where she carries, shoots the, I take a shot from out there where she goes. I said, oh, okay. So it was neat hearing from them
right. The
perspective of seeing the game today and seeing this phenomenon that a lot of people are talking about. And checking out, they may have seen on TV, but being an outsider in person and being honored, the crowd gave them a great ovation for being there. So it was really cool to see them back in Atlanta. Said, boy, it's great to be back in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And it's great to see the league, something that they started, that had some struggles and whatnot. And, but they did. It was the best they could do at the time. But to see it now get ready to take and
I want to ask a question because I don't know how it's set up. And I wonder about this. How are women identified and how are they presented in the Hall of Fame? In other words, is there a WNBA or a women's
wing? A women's Hall of Fame, but I mean, there your basketball Hall of Fame is your basketball Hall of Fame regardless.
Period. So I'm saying, so there's no, there's no area where it's just women Hall of Famers or WNBA Hall of Famers or college women. In other words, they're all sort of mixed in.
There is a basketball Hall of Fame that does include women. Now, there is a women's Hall of Fame.
Oh, no, I'm talking about the Naismith Hall of Fame.
The Naismith Hall of Fame, if you in, you in.
You in. So I'm saying, but they're all sort of mixed in. There is no separate. I was just curious about that.
If you distinguish yourself with the game, you're because everybody in there is not there for what they do professionally. You got high school coaches that are in the Hall of Fame. You got guys who've distinguished themselves at Division III or Division II college level who are in the Hall of Fame.
Okay, point taken. So is it alphabetical then? Because at some point, meaning the names. The names of this, if it's all sort of
encompassed. I think it's chronological. Whatever year you go in.
So you're talking about the years? Okay, these people did
the year that you're inducted.
I'm thinking of the bus like I see at the Hall of Fame for the NFL.
Yeah.
Where they're all sort of.
At Naismith. But I mean, it's recognition going with your class.
Have you been there before?
Year. Have not.
That'd be a trip.
Would love to go.
Yeah, man, we got to do a show from there. Get Conti on the phone. We're just getting started on this Sunday morning. First day of September. We got to talk Bulldogs. It is all about college football, and that's up next. Sam and Greg with Noel on the other side of the glass. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 92.9thegame.com. Take us with you on the Odyssey app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo if you've persevered through. You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly, beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
I tried to make it Sunday. But I got so damn depressed that I set my sights on Monday. And
you have no idea what this song reminds me of. The place where it has the richest land, at least in North America. That's what we're told. DeKalb, Illinois. Northern Illinois University. Sam and Greg Sports Radio, 92.9 again. 92.9thegame.com. Yeah, I used to play out there. It's like 60 miles just west of Chicago.
Okay.
Northern Illinois University, who, by the way, won yesterday in their home opener. And next week, they got to go, as you like to say, get a check because they play Notre Dame in their home opener. And Notre Dame got it done yesterday.
Yeah.
But this song just reminds me. I used to drive out. I didn't go to school there. Like I said, knew this there was a bar out there.
Spent a lot of time there.
Spent a lot of time. That was the place where I knew somebody who was the first millionaire I ever knew. Like a guy who was in my age range, who was a millionaire.
Okay.
And he was in DeKalb, Illinois. He had owned like two bars. And so used to go out to his house, play cards on Friday night, other things. He had the last house on the road before you pulled out of town. Looked like the Ponderosa. But, man, there's some good memories. But that song just reminds me of being out there in that area. And it was years after that song came out. Sam and Greg, like I said, going to talk some Braves. Mr. Crenshaw is going to let you know what's going on locally coming up top of the hour. I have a theory that I'm going to pass you when we talk about this particular team and the events of this past week in college football. I could be a mile and a half wrong, but I'm going to tell you what ran through my head. Again, Noel's World coming up 7 o'clock hour. Got a fresh casting call for you. Going to talk about the story of the summer. Now that we're officially into the end of summer, being September 1st, tomorrow being Labor Day, I'm just curious what your and Noel's story of the summer was so far. So we'll get into that. Dustin Long talks some NASCAR. JR going to talk about all manner of things. He's joining us. But all right, you ready to get started on what we saw yesterday as far as Bulldogs right down here at Mercedes-Benz? And, you know, did it play out the way you thought? Did it, you know, how do you feel about what you saw yesterday?
Well, so yesterday, it, for the first half, I'm like, here we go. I mean, the last time they played, there was no offensive touchdowns in the game when they played up in Charlotte a few years back. And here they are, and through the first two quarters, I'm like, these guys have gone six quarters without an offensive touchdown being scored by either team. It seems like Georgia would be the one that would eventually break through Clemson's offense. You know, was sputtering, was only getting so far, and Georgia's offense seemed to be, you know, moving better, just a matter of putting together drives and having some big plays and finish. That's what we saw in the second half of the game. So after that, it's kind of like business as usual.
There you go.
It's a game when you hear Georgia Clemson, if you've lived in this part of the country, if you've grown up in this part of the country, you kind of expect something. You expect something special, and you know this. Of course, this,
I didn't.
Them
days are over, man.
Well, I don't know if they're over. I won't say that they're
I
over.
Will.
It's a deal because they don't play every year like they used to, and that's the thing. So it's not every year you're going to get to play this thing. This was something very special. The Aflac kickoff game. Shout out to Gary Stokin and everybody over there with the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. They put this game together. The great folks from Aflac. I guess the duck was at the game. I don't know if the duck still show up.
Was it a duck or AI?
They bring him up from Columbus, from the home office in Columbus. 34-3, your final score. And I think we got some stuff from Coach Smart after the game.
Kirby.
Is he with Noel? Which one we got from
busy.
Coach?
She'll give her a second but
she got different ones.
It was one of those games, for me at least, watching it, where it was like a big heavyweight fight. And you saw those opening rounds where, you know, everybody's kind of feeling each other out. All right, whatever you got there, Noel, we'll take.
What you got from Coach?
I don't know that Nate opened up that. I mean, we hit some perimeter runs to start the game, you know, and you try to mix and mingle and try to catch people off balance.
I heard unbalanced. That's about it.
He's trying to catch people off balance. You do some things. I mean, you're trying some things. You're trying to see what works. You're trying to see what works best. And so that's what you're trying to do against this team. You know that Clemson's a talented team, that they're nationally ranked. And Dabo Sweeney's trying to prove a point that he can have a team
going down on that hill,
really, you know, embracing the transfer portal.
Now, let's stop it. How long do you think that's going to last?
For him to have that stance. I didn't go on social media yesterday afterwards. I don't know how things were going on the Clemson post-game show with the people calling in after. I don't know how that went yesterday, but there are probably some people up there saying, you know what, you got to get with the times, guy, or you're going to end up coaching at Furman You know, so that's the thing.
The Falcons used to practice out there.
They did.
I went up there a couple of years when they used to practice.
Furman's nice campus. Yeah. Not that bad.
Well,
nice
I didn't
campus.
Get to on the campus. I you just know, was nice. Out there in
boy,
the
they,
field.
Boy, they got a beat down from Ole Miss yesterday, though. But anyway, Carson Beck comes through and ends up having a big game for Georgia, 278 yards, pair of touchdowns. Here's Coach talking about Carson and his passion.
Yeah, I thought he got a little passion and energy, too, there. You know, we struggled a little bit early and didn't have the third down conversions we needed in the first half, and I thought he responded well to that. He came in, sat down on the iPad, and he told me when we came out the second half, he said, we're going to score, Coach, and sure enough, we did.
Power of the iPad. Shout out, Apple.
I was going to ask you, who do we thank for that sound?
That was just after the game. That's
okay. I'm just curious, but we got some.
Oh yeah,
whoever it is, I want to thank them because
thank the people over there at the game, that Aflac kickoff game.
Okay,
their post game press conference.
Because you know what it made me think of?
What was that?
I felt like listening to that like a first year reporter who didn't have an assigned seat yet. So I'm in the last row. That's as close as I could get because it was kind of hard to hear Kirby. You could tell whatever that sound was coming from. He was a few rows back.
No, I mean,
I'm just telling you, what it sounded like.
Yeah.
I mean,
when you go in that situation, you got everybody in the room, you got a, what you call it, you got a mall.
I understand that, but
plug in
if you're your first year and you don't know nobody, you get elbowed to the back until you know somebody.
Yeah, you do. If you're someone, you got to put a microphone up there. Everybody, guys lean in and put their recorders up on the phones all up there. But in that situation, it's a microphone.
Did you ever get into a beef with somebody in the early years when you're trying to get some sound and hold the microphone and it turns into a hockey game where someone's trying to elbow you out the way?
That's always.
You ain't going to beef with, I never did that on a regular basis.
Yeah, not on a regular basis, but there's always somebody come in, and especially if it's some place that you haven't been or people don't. Sometimes you get a place, people say, well, come on in, we're going to make room for you. Some people say, nah. You know what I mean? I've experienced that. I've experienced that.
Yeah. Okay.
But Georgia gets the win 34-3 in a schedule that is going to test them more in different ways than last year's schedule did. That's everybody complained about last year's schedule. Was it easy for them, that it was a soft schedule for them. We saw some new people emerge for this team, some new receivers.
I saw a running game that makes me feel good about them. Those matchups where you have to have ball control.
Shout out to Nate Frazier.
Nate Frazier, Bill,
yep.
Too. Cash Jones had a big run. So I'm just saying, I saw a ground game yesterday. Now, this is going to be fluid. And as you said, teams are coming together even after this game because of what we talked about with the transfer portal, right? So the chemistry is coming. Some teams will never achieve it, but it's coming with some. But this is my takeaway. I saw, as you said, defensive play. I mean, listen, the catch yesterday that
Starks
made.
Yeah.
I mean, please.
Yeah, something.
That one, but for me, my takeaway, you're asking me, I saw patience in the first half.
Yeah.
I saw adjustments going into the second half. So you saw the number one team in the country do exactly what you think they would need to do in a game like that yesterday.
Yeah.
So I'm good.
And the running game, you talk like about said, it, yeah. The running game managed to do things without the top running back who wasn't able to play. So, I mean, that's the other thing you talk about when you talk about the Georgia team, who you saw, and then there were, you know, one or two people that you didn't see that you know that's just hanging out there, that at some point we'll see them on the field, and we'll even add to what this team has so far. But it's off to a good start, 1-0. That's what coaches would tell you, want to be 1-0 this week, and they're home next week against Tennessee Tech, and that's the next game. And what you do in that game is, that's one of them games where I want, and not to put Tennessee Tech down, I know some wonderful people who went to school there, but I mean, this is one of those games where you want to keep some folks on board. You know, you've recruited so well, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got three strings deep of guys who could be starting. And so this is your chance to get some folk on the field and get some playing, because that's the other thing that everybody wants to play.
That's right.
And everybody, you know, every week, everybody's not going to play. That's what you understand when you go to a place like Georgia.
Is that – that's not Eddie George's place. Is he Tennessee State?
He's Tennessee State.
Okay.
Tennessee State, they got a different thing. They got North Dakota State next week. That's the
Oops.
folks that almost ambushed Deion Sanders.
They – jeez.
Them dudes are App State in green uniforms.
You
they
think
really
so?
Are. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, very much. They, you know, they're 1AA, or if you want to call it FCS, but they're at the top of that chain. They win that thing almost every year. And so if you're at the top of that level, you're pretty much like a group of five team. You know, they could run with Conference USA, Sun Belt, you know, American Athletic, they could run with them. They choose to stay where they are. Also, they're not that attractive because what conference has a footprint that wants to include a member from North Dakota?
Yeah.
You're right. So, I mean, yeah. That's the kind of the problem that they have. But they're a quality program. And when I first saw that game on the schedule, I'm like, who scheduled this game for them? Because these dudes, you know, they're that kind of dude that'll come to your party. You going to pay me to come to your party? I come to your party. Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. We're going to dance. I'm going to take your check. And I'm probably going to take your girl. You know, and that's what they almost did to Colorado the other night. You know, really. And the thing about it is the Colorado team will probably be a better team this year. He's had a chance, you know, talking about Sanders, had a chance to recruit some athletes. Hopefully he's got some depth this year.
Well, he lost a whole lot, too.
But first game out, and this is the thing about the transfer portal, really the Florida State last week and Georgia State last night, when you have that influx of talent that is changing, your first week, it's hard to go out and play like you're really going to play, hopefully play the rest of the season, and you get an opportunistic team like North Dakota State that is talented and has retained players. And that's the other word that comes to this day of college football is retention. Mm-hmm. That is what has happened at Georgia Tech. They didn't have a lot of guys jump off board after last season. Oh, we had a winning season. Let me see what I can parlay this into at another level. No, guys stay. You know, when you get that group, it takes on the flavor of March Madness. What did we see a couple of years ago in March? We saw Florida Atlantic. We saw schools that had guys that stayed were beating teams with superior talent.
It's called the Gonzaga blueprint.
But applying it to football.
That's what I'm saying.
You know, so you're not supposed to be able to do that, but that's exactly what's happening right now.
But that theory might work for Georgia Tech. Not so much with Clemson. We just got through talking about that.
Because
Dabo, his stubbornness is not what Georgia Tech is going through and their approach to it, but yet two different programs with the same mindset as far as keeping those players, but not so much different results. But then again, the people they played. Listen, I didn't get into this with when you mentioned Deion, but I have a theory. It popped into my head. This could have been the first shot across the bow, this meaning this past week, or since college football has been on the front burner. I go back to the little tit-tat fights he's had with the media.
Yeah.
I take that. I take the conversation that has swirled around his two stars, his son and Travis Hunter, and what they will be, where they'll be drafted next year. And I say to myself, is he setting himself up for an exit strategy out of Colorado?
Yeah.
And will Florida State get those people in play? Because, see, something's got to happen in the ACC. We already know about the changing landscape. We got this one program is suing the ACC. You got all these moving parts, and you don't have a name down there. You have one with Dabo Swinney and Clemson, but they don't seem to be the Clemson they used to be as far as that. That ran through my head. Is that absurd to think that he is positioning himself?
No, I don't think he's positioning himself to go in it. Whoa, look at this.
Yeah, I know. Where are we at with that?
We'll find that out. But I think that if Florida State leaves the ACC for the Big 12, where Colorado is, he'll stay. I think he'll stay. The idea of
beating Florida,
would be too much for him to pass up.
But if they don't, whether it's Florida State, some have talked Texas A&M. I mean, they just did what they did yesterday. I'm just saying, I think that all of this tension he's causing in Boulder and with his kid leaving and Travis Hunter, he's going to have to start from zero next year, really. And does he want to do that? And so maybe I'll just leave with my kid and the number one, you know, top 10 draft choices and go land somewhere else. And I'm going to go because that school knows I'll bring a bunch of money with me. Because he put a whole lot of money in Colorado.
Yeah, but I mean, if the other team that's got a championship agenda, I don't think so.
Well, that's
they're gonna make their money. They want to win the championship.
I'm just curious. Like I said, that ran through my head.
Colorado's the perfect spot because they were in need.
Mm-hmm.
They hadn't been relevant in years, and right now they're relevant. People want to see them. They want to see what
if he leaves, will they be?
Right now.
Let's just take.
Well, he set them up for that. How they carry it forward. It's just like Jackson State.
I was just going to say, Jackson State, how they do.
Jackson State played well. They didn't win. They played Louisiana Monroe this week. They played well. Enough of that talent has stayed there, and guys go there to see it when they're talking recruit. And that's the thing you want to do. How you carry it forward, you upgrade your facility. He brought that to you. What you do with it, that's on you.
We got more college football we will be talking about. But Braves had a chance to gain some ground on Philadelphia. That series continues tonight. Hopefully we will leave this with a split. Anyway, Braves. Phillies, what time is that first start? When the first pitch is at, I had it in front of me here. Ooh, it's a night game. That's right, it's a night game. That's right, 7-8, they're on the four-letter network. It's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Get out of here. That's what I'm going to do. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It's Sam and Greg on this first day of September. Happy, happy, happy Labor Day weekend. I'm not going to drive this too hard, but you got to mention this is an amateur weekend. And tomorrow's an amateur day.
I think you should drive it. Why not?
Okay, well, you know.
Speaking of driving.
That's exactly right.
You know.
There's an amateur day tomorrow. Amateur day, amateur night, whatever. There's eight of them throughout the course of the year. Amateur weekend, if you will. This is something that we've been talking about in this show for years. I say I don't want to, you know, hit you over the head with it, but you know what? When you said it like that, you're right, because we're going to tell everybody, if you're going to the lake today or this weekend, call somebody.
Right. Let somebody know you're
going. Let them know you're going out there. But the eight amateur nights of the year are the days or nights that people who don't normally drink and drive are drinking and driving. That's why we call them amateur nights. And so Labor Day being the last of the summer, the three summer holidays. So you got those three. Should I go through them again?
Why not?
All right. So you got Memorial Day, Labor Day, 4th of July. Those are the summer holidays. But then you got, let's start off with the granddaddy of them all, New Year's Eve. Then you go St. Patrick's Day, Cinco de Mayo, and the last two being Halloween night and America's only unofficial holiday, Super Bowl Sunday.
There you go.
Those days or nights of the year is when you got to watch out. And so be very, 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 very careful out there. As we like to say, Sam and I got no time going to hospitals visiting our listeners. We would do it.
We would now.
But we ain't got no time for it.
Yeah.
Other thing I want to mention is welcome to all of you during this birthday season. All of us, I'm included in that. We are all New Year's produced babies. New Year's Eve. New Year's
exactly,
Eve.
Exactly.
We are
right?
New Year's Eve babies.
You know how the parents celebrate it.
When September hits, you know how you got here if your birthday starts now. So, and even some October babies, you know. But the other thing is, as we get ready to talk about Braves, have y'all seen the new documentary or fairly new documentary, One of a Kind? They're running it on MLB Network. It is a documentary on Greg Maddux.
Yep.
It is beautiful.
Yep.
And it's not only the pitchers that he played with, it's the stories that those other guys tell, you know, and you can imagine the usual suspects, John Smoltz, Tom Glavine, Frenchie's in there. By the way, I was thinking
Perez was good.
Eddie Perez was on that.
Eddie is great.
He tells some good stories. That's why I played Kathmandu coming back. You see, I went around left field there because Smoltz was on this thing, and Smoltz being from Michigan, Bob Seger, you get the tie.
Yeah,
you see what I did there? But one of the most compelling parts is the part with the person you never hear from, but his biggest nemesis, and that was Barry Bonds. And Barry Bonds is a part of this, and they talk about their matchups. And it's not a tally, you know, I got them this many times versus the other. It's what they each did when facing each other. Yeah. It was the intricacies of baseball. And these two guys talking about approaching each other, not with their physical attributes, it was what was going on between their ears. And so check it out if you haven't seen it yet. One of a Kind. It's on MLB Network. It's been running for a while, and it's all on Greg Maddux. So check that out. Now, what we're going to do tonight, man?
Man,
on
I
national
don't know,
TV.
But it's what we've done last night, though. And the guy that always seems to show up when he plays against his whole hometown team, Zach Wheeler.
yeah, he went to East, was it East Paulding?
East Paulding.
That's where Kyle went.
Who was that?
My stepson. He went to East Paulding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, they got a cannon they fire out there when they score football games. They're the Raiders.
And then somebody else went. There was another Braves pitcher also went out to East Paulding. I think they put two pitchers in the mix. Man, put more, but I'm just thinking of two. But anyway, yeah, Zach Wheeler got the win.
Seven innings he went, scattered four hits, struck out seven. Just another strong performance against his old hometown team. 3-0 final score, and yeah, that's You know, you wanted to see this team go up to Philadelphia this weekend and, you know, take some games from these guys once again and just show that, hey, we're getting toward the back end of the schedule, you know, and really do something to kind of say, okay, see you in October.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And seemed like we were having trouble getting that to happen this weekend.
So tonight, as you approach six back, okay, of Philadelphia, whether they get the win or not.
And you got to face Nola tonight.
Yeah.
Good
luck with that.
Well, come on now.
Here's the thing. Philadelphia, you do what you can do against them. You get well on what's next, okay? And what's next is Washington, Colorado, Colorado, Toronto, Washington, like I said, later on. You got to get well on these guys.
Yeah.
And so you just got to hope that Philadelphia, let me try and see who they're taking on after they leave us. You got to hope that people like Toronto, who we're going to face, but Miami, and they're on the road too for a while. So they got to go up to Canada, they got to go down to that's a flight. Got to go up to Toronto and then down to Miami.
Yikes.
On the road, play those games. And listen, Tampa Bay ain't nothing to sneeze at either.
No.
So you got to hope that they, you know, get handled by some teams. This is when it gets interesting. And so, we've talked about, all the Braves can do is go out and beat that opponent in front, whether it's somebody they're supposed to beat or they're going to have a hard time getting at. This is when, as you said, the rubber meets the road. They're sitting in that third spot as far as wild card. But I want to say something. Remember a couple weeks ago when I sat here and wondered where Matt Olson was?
Yeah.
Yeah, he told me where to go. Okay, so I want to just say that
yeah.
Because I was wondering when he was going to show up and that bat was going to show up, and it did. So he gave me the one finger salute, and I ain't mad at him for doing that. I also want to say that collectively, I've also sat here and talked to you about fielding and the loss of Ron Washington, and now, you know, you got Austin Riley gone.
And then a rash of injuries, right?
And some injury. But I've been seeing some play out there from these kids. I mean, they may be too young at times to know they ain't supposed to be making some of these plays, but I've seen some fielding. I've seen some infield play that has surprised me.
And that's
given me reason to hope.
And that's a good thing.
That is a very good thing. I've seen some miscues too, but along with that, I've seen some exceptional play out of some guys who are, I think, now starting to feel real comfortable out there. And feeling like, once you feel like you belong,
yeah,
you play like, you know, this is the person who everybody believed will be in the majors.
Yeah.
You start to ascend that way. There's always the famous phrase, this has happened repeatedly throughout history, you know, from Leo DeRocher saying it to Willie Mays when Willie Mays was slumping, and he says, you know, Mr. DeRocher, I don't know if I'm good enough to be up here. He says, I don't care what you do, you are my center fielder. And once he told him that, as the story goes, Willie said, I became Willie Mays. Because I knew I had the confidence of my manager.
Mm-hmm.
This has happened throughout sports, not just in baseball. You can pick them. Where that kid, I was watching, you know, I was watching for a little bit, and I want to go watch the whole thing again. The answer, Allen Iverson.
Yeah.
I mean, I almost cry a little bit when I hear him talk about what John Thompson meant to him and how he made him a man.
Oh, he saved his life.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
He saved that guy's life. Yeah.
And just the way he... the emotion that came from him talking about that. And this is one thing, how he talked about his mother being a teenage mom and raising him and so on and so forth and all the struggles he got into and, of course, the famous fight that took place that got him in trouble. But when he talked about that relationship with John Thompson, that's when he became who he eventually became.
Yeah.
Then Larry Brown took it to the next level when he became a 76er. So, and again, this is just a couple that popped to mind, but they're laced throughout sports. And you got to hope that these young players who are filling in right now because of attrition have that voice. And this is when you do really wish Ron Washington was here.
Yeah, but then once again, you give Brian Snitker the credit, too, because the way that, you know, what's been thrown at him and what he's had to do. And believe me, he has had to play a big role in just calming some people down. And not being, you know, even if things are frustrated to the point where you want to yell and scream, maybe that wasn't the best thing to do. Or maybe he does some of that. We just don't know it.
We knew what Bobby was. How Bobby felt from day to day.
Right, right.
Brian Snitker doesn't wear those emotions on his sleeve like Bobby did. The other thing, the reason why I talk about these assistant coaches, I keep going back to Ron Washington, EY, is because he's the CEO. So you don't know how dirty he gets his hands, so to speak, in getting in front of players. Maybe, you know, he delegates the responsibility. So I don't know. But right now, maybe he is doing more than we see behind the scenes that's giving confidence to these young players.
More than making the lineup card. We know he does that part.
And that
has turned out to be a daily challenge with this team. Okay. Every day has been a challenge. And to have the team where they are right now, you know, we want more. We want more. We want better. But considering what's been thrown this team's way,
you're right.
To be where they are, you know, that's pretty amazing. Right now, though, the calendar changes.
That's right.
The calendar changes.
And this is when I get excited, what I've been talking about all season.
And this
right
is
now.
The stretch. This is the stretch. What you see right now is who you're going to be, especially if you make it into things in October, and we believe they will. And so that's what we want to see the next few weeks.
The good news is, let me make sure I get this right here, that Padres ain't getting it done the way they used to. And so there is, I want to see here, is there a possibility that there's a wild card change at number 3? You know, they're only two up on the Padres. Are only two up on the Braves, and the Padres, you know, they've been slumping. They haven't been playing the way they have been. So I'm just saying, is it possible? Do you want to get that into that two spot?
Absolutely.
It doesn't really matter as far as that first round because you're not going to get a home game. Arizona will, but again, I'm feeling good about the Mets' descent. And I'm looking the Mets and the Padres. So let's just, you know, we'll see what happens. We got coming up here, like I said, Karen Pestana. I have to do something today when Karen comes on that I am not going to be happy about doing, but I have to do it.
Oh, no.
I have to be responsible.
Yikes.
And I'm going to.
What?
I have to be responsible. So I'm going to say something that's going to make me just grit my teeth.
Mm.
But we're going to have that with Karen coming up.
Karen,
you'll see. You will understand
so
why.
She's always so pleasant. Why you?
It ain't got nothing
something?
To do with Karen. It's got something to do with what I have to say having to do with the sport. And I just stick around for it. You'll see what I mean. Noel's World coming up, 7:40. Going to talk to Miles Garrett. We're also going to get into what was your sports story of the summer so far. What has it been? Coming up at 8 o'clock as we now move into September, Labor Day, the official end of summer. Going to kind of go back and forth over some of the things that happened during these last few months. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Today was the day of the Junction Boys getting together.
Really?
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
We sat here and watched Alabama have their first game without Nick Saban. By the way, Nick Saban was actually pretty entertaining yesterday.
Yeah.
On game day. He still staying in that Nick Saban mode. He was actually pretty entertaining, but today was the day that Bear Bryant took a bunch of players into Junction, Texas,
mm-hmm.
for a 10-day mini camp. Famously, the book famously came from that, the Junction Boys.
Yeah,
from that.
It was rough, rough time for those guys.
Junction, I don't even know what Junction, Texas is, but it sounds sandy.
He never did anything like that again.
Really?
The Bear, no, Bryant didn't do anything like that.
Okay. There you go. All right, Sam and Greg, we are here on this first day of September. Thank you for letting us be a part of your holiday weekend. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.